her fingers knotting in front of her, betraying her intense nervousness. Ryan held a frag grand, looking down at a colorless sticky liquid that was seeping from under the flip-top firing mechanism.
Be useful, but...
But what, Dad?
But I'm a long way from being certain that they're still safe, son.
Let's try one.
Too much noise. I want to bring ourselves some unwelcome company, Dean.
Could be trainers. Found some myself back home in the bayous. An old armory. Thought I found the best weapons in Deathlands. All filled with plastic. No Plas X. Found some ring pulls in the same place. The labels all worn off, so I didn't know what they were. I was all excited.
What were they, Jack?
Gee.
Canned cabbage. All dissolved into kind of a porridge. Just threw it away.
We could test one of these, Ryan. Heave it into the heart of the building. Walls and roof will muffle the explosion. Maybe use a delay. It shouldn't make too much of a bang in there. Then we could all take a couple with us.
For the time being, put them all back in the box. Hang on to it there, Dean.
Sure, Dad.
JB held on to a single grenade with bands of dull green and bright yellow, peering down at it.
Timers on these generally run around 15 seconds as set. You can alter the setting for anything from 10 seconds to 10 hours, but... Yeah, these have a base setting of 15 seconds. I'll stick with that. I'll take it in and throw it down the end of the passage. Give me time to run back out here. Everyone take cover in case there's any broken glass. Here I go.
Haven't seen a grin in ages, Dad.
Me neither. Found some a while back, and we used to have a decent store of them in Warwag 1. Trader found them or bought them, somewhere up in the darks, I think it was.
They all knelt behind the cover, Jack pulling the young native by the hand, reassuring her that everything would be safe, but there would be a very loud bang. Ryan knelt, his hands over his ears, closing his eye, keeping his mouth open to try to minimize the effects of any blast, aware of Christy pressed against him on the right side. JB came out of the doorway, springing hard, arms pumping, his knees raised. He carried the Uzi, but he left the scattergun outside with Mildred. He jinked to his right, heading toward the pillbox, his combat boots slipping a little on the damp grass.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Go?
No go.
Dean started to get up.
Can I go take a look, Dad, and see whether...
See whether you get your stoop head blown off, Dean? No. On the whole, I'd rather you stayed here with us for a little while. Until we know for sure if the Gren's going to blow or not.
Not, is my guess.
They waited in the forest's stillness. Ryan glanced at his wrist chron.
30 seconds gone.
You sure it wasn't a training, Gren?
Sure. Proper primer, and it started to tick as soon as I triggered it. Well, it sure seems that they're duds.
Can't we try some more? Some might work.
No, waste of time, Dean. See the corrosion and the leaking stuff?
How about this one with purple and... Oh, shit!
Mildred was first to stoop and start picking them up, holding one of the timer grands with its green and yellow stripes, and dropping it like a hot brick.
It's ticking! The fucker's ticking!
Run!
There was a moment of disorganized panic. Doc took it into his befuddled old head that the best course of action was to pick up the ticking timer gren and throw it a long way in the opposite direction. But when Mildred dropped it, the lethal pre-dark device had disappeared into the other 30 or so grens that lay scattered around the base of the concrete fortified pillbox. Mildred saved his life. She spotted his confusion and spun and raced back to him, slapping him smartly across the cheek as she arrived, then tugging him by the ear. She let go, only when Doc yelped in pain and started to chase after her, his face flushed in anger. Ryan had glanced at his cron as soon as he realized what Mildred's warning meant. Now, as he sprinted toward the welcoming cover of the florid shrubs and bushes beneath the trees, he was counting to himself, allowing for the timer having 15 seconds to run before the ignition sequence was completed.
12 seconds! Everyone down, now!
The ground dipped slightly a few yards before the beginnings of the jungle, and Ryan dove for it, rolling over on his face, cupping his ears, and closing his eye. He opened his mouth and counted to himself under his breath. The ground shook and heaved as if from a major quake. The shockwave was colossal, and the surge of heat scorched his skin. Ryan lay still, pressed to the comforting earth, his shoulders hunched. He had experienced the familiar sucking shock of an implode and recognized the characteristic stench of the burners and smokes going off. His immediate worry was that one or more of the grins might have contained nerve gas. As soon as the rumbling of the explosions had faded away, he risked a glance. Thick smoke was drifting from the wrecked pillbox, with flames glowing brightly at its heart. The wind seemed to be carrying it away from Ryan and the others, toward the main buildings of the base.
Safe?
Better give it another half a minute, in case there's more of the delays. How about nervies?
I don't think I spotted any, but I can't be sure. Yeah, I'd be a bastard to get caught by one of them.
Everyone else all right? Dean?
Yeah, Dad. Can't hardly hear you. Feels like my ear's been filled with water. Hey, I'm triple sorry about that, but I never knew that...
That's all right, son. Christy?
Christy was close enough to reach out and squeeze his hand.
Near thing, that. I'm fine. Got a load of mud and grass in my hair.
Jack?
Dave.
The girl?
She all right. Pissed herself with fear. I think I have to carry her back to the village. I dash you walk.
Mildred, are you all right?
Sorry, didn't hear you properly. Yeah, I got a little blood in my ears, but I don't think there's any permanent damage done. Close call.
The good doctor has a little blood from her ears? Is that what the good lady said? She's lucky to have any ears left. After her violent attack on my person, I thought that my one ear had vanished into her fingers. I thank you for saving my life, madam. Most sincerely.
Welcome, Doc.
Ryan looked up again, over the rise in the ground. There didn't seem much risk of more grins going off.
Let's move it. Head away toward the main entrance. You need a hand with Rainflower, Jack?
No, I can manage.
Brushing dirt, leaves, and pebbles from themselves, they all stood, staring nervously toward the smoldering crater behind them. Ryan noticed that Doc had suffered one of his nosebleeds, crimson streaking his mouth and chin. He was mopping at it with his trusty kerchief. Everyone else looked well enough, though Dean was pale with shock. Rainflower was holding Jack by the hand, looking up at him from beneath lowered lids. She was trembling like an aspen in a hurricane. Christy's bright hair was dulled and had coiled itself tightly around her nape. Her green eyes blinked as she rubbed dust from them, but she still managed a smile for Ryan.
Never a dull moment.
Itzcoatl, with a number of his senior warriors, all of them fully armed, met them on the trail a quarter mile outside the village.
What was that thunder? What have you removed from the Temple of the Americans?
Just some powder and stuff that we found over at the base. Think that we might be able to use it to help you. And the noise? Well, guess we might have woke up some of the old gods. But we won, and they lost.
The chief looked at Rainflower.
Sit bo lantuan, chekyan.
Itzcoatl nodded slowly, his dark eyes returning to Ryan.
You angered the old ones, and nearly paid the blood price.
Some old grenades got triggered and went off. It was dangerous, but we escaped all right. It's got nothing to do with any fire-blasted gods.
You have helped us, but don't step over the line or you better watch your ass.
Ryan couldn't help smiling at the man's use of the old pre-dark American slang.
Sure, Chief, sure. We could use a good wash and maybe some food.
Tonight, there will be the ritual of winning the favor of the gods. The two jaguar warriors and the slaver you caught will all help us in this. It will be a feast of celebration.
But we can eat now?
No. Water only is allowed. It is part of the cleansing. We do not eat after burying our brothers, not before they are joined by our enemies.
Joined? Does that mean what I think it does, Chief?
Tonight, before the setting of the sun, you will see and understand.
Everyone freshened up, using water from the nearby lake to wash.
The talk of this ceremony tonight, it likes me not, brothers and sisters.
Sacrifice?
Means they'll chill the three prisoners they've got, doesn't it, Dad?
We don't have to go.
Christy tried to dry her hair on a ridiculously small towel.
Trouble is, I only did Native American sociological grouping as my minor, but I know that all of the main cultures of Central and South America were seriously big on their rituals.
Aztecs, Maya...